Hello.
It's a little more intimate podcast for Crystal and I.
We are 3 inches from making out.
Yeah. Well, you are kind of my type.
Yeah, you're pretty much my type, too. And our type is both Harrison Ford, so.
So we're just both Harrison Ford.
Yeah, right now, yeah. I think that's what this is.
Yeah, we're forced to use one mic.
Oh, this is fun.
Technical difficulties, which is a little sad because it is Crystal Beth's last show with us.
It is. It's really sad, yeah. But still, I'm excited that it's these two movies. I know that they're not your favorites, but they're...
But that's sometimes we have the most fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, quickly, if anyone is unaware of the joy of today, we have 2013's Ender's Game, and then we'll quickly talk about Harrison Ford's scenes in Anchorman 2, and then the 2014 film The Expendables 3.
I love the Expendables movies. And I say that only having watching one. I've only watched Expendables 3, but it made me want to go watch the first two so bad because I was raised on watching these actors be badass.
See, for a second I got excited that you were going to be able to explain some of the stuff I didn't get because I haven't seen the other two movies.
I don't think it's something we need to get. I think that it's just there's friends and they're fighting and jumping around and funny little quips. And I don't know. I don't feel like I missed anything in this movie, having not seen other ones.
No, I don't feel like I missed it, but I could definitely, it was interesting. I've never seen, except when I was a tiny kid and saw the Star Wars out of order, seen a sequel as an adult where I hadn't seen the other ones. And so I could tell when there were moments of, oh, this is about something that happened. Like I could tell because it was a little heavy handed, but these are what these movies do. Like I have no, like this is what the genre is. And what I was telling Crystal before was, I was miserable watching this movie, but I don't think it's a bad movie. It's just not my thing at all. And I was miserable.
See, I guess that makes sense. I was not miserable. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so terribly awful. It made me think the other two were much better, especially just how Sylvester Stallone spoke of this movie. And I know you have notes on this as well, mm-hmm. where he made it a PG-13 trying to get a larger audience because he got greedy. And which is hilarious because that's one of the reasons Harrison Ford's in this film is because Bruce Willis in Sylvester Stallone's eyes got greedy and asked for too much money. So they were like, all right, we'll get Harrison Ford. Great. This will be fun. And then he goes and tries to make it a PG-13 movie, trying to get a broader audience. But it's the Expendables. It's punching and blood and guts and shooting. It's a rated R movie.
Yeah, it felt like a video game. So much death. So much death.
Yeah.
Which Mel Gibson kind of brings up, right? He's like, hey, did you kill someone today? Did you kill someone today? Like, you're not the saint that you think you are.
Right.
No, so I didn't even look it up, I guess, because I did not find any joy in this film. Well, no, the one-liners were kind of funny.
Oh, they were the best.
And I so admire Sylvester Stallone. I think he is such a smart guy. But if people don't know, you know, he wrote Rocky. It was all his idea. And they gave him, they were going to give him a lot of money. And they said, but you can't be in it. And he went, no, I'll take less money. I'm in it. I wrote this for myself. And they were like, no, you're not a famous guy. So you can't be in it. And he said, no. And he actually had to sell his dog.
Oh, my.
To make the film.
It's really Jesus. Sad. Did he get his dog back after?
I think he did. I think he may have. You know what? That's funny. Because I didn't look up the story to confirm all the details, but I think he did get his dog back.
Oh, well, I would hope so. After that, I'd be like, hey, actually, I sold that dog and I'm Rocky. And people would be like, all right, cool.
Yeah, here's your dog back. Just like every story in a pawn shop.
Yep.
Well, if it was your mother's ring, of course you're going to get it back. point. What should we talk about first? I mean, I figured we'd to talk about Ender's Game because it came out first, but we've not done that recently because sometimes it's just you don't want to talk about a movie.
Yeah, well, this one's I liked Ender's Game. The movie was fine.
Read the books?
Yes, I've read all the books.
Okay, this is interesting.
The whole series.
I have not read the series.
Okay, well, the books to movies are always a hard thing, mm-hmm. and these books in particular, I really enjoyed, and I think that they took the life out of them. In this movie, not the life like, oh, you suck the life out of it, but the life of it, the living through it. And the, I guess because you can't feel the feelings Ender has. And that's a big thing in the books is his feelings and what's going on in his head. Because he's not super vocal except for when he's, you know, telling people what to do.
Yeah.
But in the books, you can really get into his head, and you don't really get into the head of Harrison Ford's character.
Well, this was written and directed by Gavin Hood, obviously based on the novels that you just mentioned by Orson Scott Card. Harrison's character is Colonel, is it Hiram Grass?
Yes.
My grandfather's name was Hiram. That's a little close. Gavin Hood won an Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film in 2005, and he also directed the X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Those are good movies. He's good at action.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful movie, Ender's Game.
It's beautiful to look at. And listen, they were very smart to cast really great actors in it. Ben Kingsley is wonderful in the film. It was a little hard for me to take Asa Butterfield serious, and not because of his acting, but he's so small, and I felt like they should have cast an actor who maybe wasn't the age, you know, how they older, not someone who's 30, like sometimes they do, but someone who looked more like, an imposing figure, maybe. I don't know, but that's who he is, right? It's supposed to be this little
that's exactly
kid,
it.
Smart, and
he outsmarts people with his mind instead of his brain. And yeah. I think he was decently cast for who Ender was.
Okay.
But I don't think he really the characters around him. I love Bean.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Bean. His character I thought was cast marvelously. But they're supposed to be this group of young misfits, and I think that they fit the age type right. I think that Harrison Ford did his character pretty well, except in the books, he's a little more, I don't want to say aloof, but not as warm, because he's kind of warm in this, which is odd because Harrison Ford.
It's not how I would describe him in this film as warm. Wow.
Yeah, well, that's in the book. It's even less.
Wow.
Yep.
Definitely. Yeah. And it has a really great, theme or statement. It's about the ravages of war. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they thought it was a simulation and they, you know, they actually did it. And they are teaching him to be a bit cold. But I didn't really see that resolved to me. I don't know.
They didn't do it well. It's so hard because a big part of the book is when he goes into the video game and plays the game and kills the big giant and goes into it. And that's where he first starts talking with the bugger.
And this is the one book, right? They only adapted the one book, not the series. Okay.
Right. And that was so much more cerebral when you're watching it. And yeah. I mean, I wish I read the book recently. I read these books back
they're 10 years ago now. 70s, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I know there was a lot of controversy because apparently the writer of the books has been very vocal of anti-LGBTQ. Oh, I always do it backwards. Anyway, you say.
Yes. Oh, LGBTQ.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was like, wait, am I going to say it wrong too?
Sorry. It's funny because if you listen to Eddie Izzard's audiobook, who's also dyslexic and is part of the community, he can't say it either. And so he says LGBT+.
Oh.
And I went, oh, it's a dyslexic thing. Because dyslexics a lot of times can't repeat, when something stands for something. If it doesn't look like a word, an acronym.
Gotcha.
Exactly, because we memorize words as objects. We don't memorize letters.
Okay.
And so the brain doesn't really, this is what I'm guessing, is the brain is so used to memorizing words as letters, is that you're trying to repeat, even though you know what it is and what it stands for, it just kind of comes out of the mouth incorrectly.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. So it's a little embarrassing. So sorry, guys. Because I didn't have it in front of me. If I had it in front of me, I could read it.
Read it and know it.
Even though I know what all the letters stand for.
Brains are weird.
Aren't they?
Yeah, and fuck this guy for being anti-gay. When I found that out, I was like, well, I was saying that, I don't remember if I said it on the podcast or to you on your own. I never buy the books. I always get them free from somewhere.
You didn't say that. Yeah. That's interesting. Well, I mean, it's the whole debate, which, you know, we can go into about the art versus the person who puts it out. But I also think that it's a very complicated issue. And I think it also depends on the situation as well, which is hard too. But in general, if you think about what this book is about, I mean, I haven't read them, that there could be themes of what he believes in it. So that's not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does get a little weird with, I mean, I'm sure you noticed this with Valentine.
Which one's Valentine
his
again?
His sister.
Oh, Abigail Breslin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the book, their relationship is a lot more mature. Oh, from my point of view, it was anyway.
They're the same age, though?
Yeah. Well, he's younger because he's a third. So
well, that's right. Of course, he's a third.
In this future,
that
you're allowed to.
That was interesting to me. Yeah. That was a really interesting aspect, I felt. I knew going in I wasn't going to enjoy it. I knew that it didn't do well. And you were right last time. The Comic-Con experience with on Nerdist for Harrison when he was sort of miserable was this movie.
Okay.
Now, in the interviews with him and the director, they seem to get along. I mean, again, he's a professional, you know. But maybe it wasn't, you know, the sort of the best experience. I was surprised that he was doing another sci-fi movie. But I think we're getting to the point where, you know, he doesn't have a lot of options.
Yeah.
Even though I thought it could be another franchise, maybe, you know, passing the torch to the next generation.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. I liked Harrison Ford in this.
Yeah, he's fine.
I'd want to impress him and do things right.
Sure. Father figure. I actually have a connection to this film in a way.
Uh-huh.
Because I have 3 degrees from Harrison Ford because of who's in this movie.
Tell me.
I was in a film with Asa Butterfield and Hailee Steinfeld.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was in a scene with them.
Is that 2 degrees?
Yeah, but we did the 3 degree thing in one of the early episodes of the podcast, and we put my name in, and I wasn't thinking, I didn't know they did a movie together. And so we were like, oh, let's put our names into the machine. And so they put my name in and it came up really close. And so I was,
I think that's just 2 degrees though. Cause it's only one person between you.
No, it is. No, you're right. But it's the 3 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing.
Oh.
So it was a 3 degrees machine. So you're right. I'm calling it 3 degrees because that's the colloquialism. But you're right. It is 2 degrees.
Yeah. Don't sell yourself short. That's 2 degrees. You talked to someone who talked to Harrison Ford. That's crazy.
I know. I didn't really get to know Asa on set. You know, he kind of just listened to music and he was very young at the time. You know, I think he and Haley are about the same age, but she might be a little older. I'm not sure.
How long ago was this?
This was about 4 years ago.
Okay.
So I mostly talked with Haley and I kept forgetting how old she was because she just comes across so mature. Like, I felt like I was talking to someone, you know, like my peer, my own age.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
She and her mom were really nice to me. I was on set for one day. It was the last day of shooting. They had to come back months later because it was too cold for us to film in the park. It's the outdoor scene. And it's on my reel if you want to watch.
I'll watch it.
They asked me, it's called 10,000 Saints with Ethan Hawke. And they asked me what's going on in the park. And we're protesting against Koch. And I look really sick because it was before I had my gallbladder taken out.
Oh, no.
Which it fit the character, but it's one of those things where you don't realize how sick you are until you look back at pictures of yourself and you go, wow, why didn't anyone say anything to me?
Well, I mean, I think people always feel weird about that. Usually moms are the ones.
Yeah, no, yeah.
She's 21. She just looked it up.
She's 21 now.
Yes.
Yeah, so she's probably like about, she's 16, 17, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, she felt so much more mature to me, and I thought that was really great. And she and her mother were lovely. But yeah, Asa
cool.
Just kind of listened to music, so I didn't really get to talk to him. But I did get to pull a bullhorn out of his hand.
Oh, that's fun.
That was the second scene that we did, and I called him an asshole.
Oh,
that was
that.
The extent of my scenes.
Called a little kid an a-hole. I love it.
Yeah, in 2 lines. And obviously Viola Davis, Oscar winner. Ben Kingsley, Oscar winner. They really thought this was going to be, you know, a prestige thing.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
No, it's beautiful to look at, but
well, also,
not
I mean,
a fan.
The fact that Orson Scott Card came out as anti-gay.
Oh, I'm sure that didn't help.
And
but it's not a good movie.
Can't, like, that doesn't help because the movie started out with people boycotting it.
Yeah, no, and it made sense why I had sort of not really heard of it until I started doing this show, and I had to put together the list, and it was around this time where there were a lot of movies where I went, I've never heard of this. I don't know.
Yeah, it's fine.
So Expendables 3, directed by Patrick Hughes, who did Signs and Hitman's Bodyguard, which just came out recently. I didn't see that. His character is Max Drummer, a CIA field operations officer and pilot. It's written by Sylvester Stallone. Again, smart guy.
Yeah.
Came up with the idea. Let's get a lot of quote unquote has been. I hate to use that word, but people who maybe aren't as big now, but used to be big star. I mean, they're expendables. They're, you know.
Yeah, I like that. It's they're all still doing a lot of awesome movies. They're just old.
Yeah.
They're like, let's just get a bunch of old action guys. Sort of, yeah.
Offensive, but I apologize. But not all of them are starring in. They're not as big leads now.
No, because they're old.
Yeah, it's kind of what we've been talking about with Harrison Ford, where he's trying to find his place, and he's like, oh, I'm not the lead anymore. And so they took all those people who didn't have their place anymore and put them in one movie. It also means their ask, their price that they want probably is lower because they're not huge box office draws, but people remember them as, and so they want to go see them. I think this was a brilliant concept from Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
He's a smart guy.
Except for Bruce Willis, apparently, who wanted a lot of money to come to the next one.
And the prime. Stories by Sylvester Stallone, based on characters by David Callahan, because he wrote the original.
Fantastic. I'm glad that he gave him credit, even if he didn't write it.
Well, in Star Wars, it'll say characters based, on characters based on written by George Lucas.
That's true.
You know, so.
Actually, this is the first Expendables that he didn't write, because he wrote Expendables 1 and 2.
Yes, that's why it says based on characters, so it'll only say that when George Lucas didn't write it.
I wonder what happened that he didn't write the third one. Maybe he's tired.
Maybe. You know, it's a lot of violence.
And a lot of one-liners.
I can't imagine what the R was. Oh, the one-liners were great, though.
Oh, yes. They're exhausting.
They were so obviously one-liners.
And who better to say them than all of these men?
Seriously. They almost copywrote the sayings of some of these lines. And I think there are lots of references that I don't get. Like, I think it's a Desperado thing.
It's so tongue-in-cheek. It's just it's a fun movie. I need to watch
Antonio Banderas
other two.
Is great.
He's my favorite character in this movie.
Me too.
I thought
he's
so funny.
And probably one of the better actors in the film.
I know.
Sorry, guys.
He got so excited about everything
he
was going to do.
When he's in the plane.
Yeah.
The look on his face of excitement and like anticipation. Like he's like a little kid who's going to Disneyland. It was so subtle yet so funny. And I was like, this guy's so good.
Yeah. I was like, where is he? Why isn't he in more stuff right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw him on Broadway.
Really? What show?
In 9.
Oh,
wow. We were in the front row because it was actually cheaper because you could get wet from the fountain.
Oh.
But I was like, I was my mom's birthday present, and she's like, I want to be as close to Antonio Banderas as I can be.
I love that.
Yeah. And I was like, happy birthday, Mom, front row.
I could do an Antonio Banderas podcast. I don't want to watch all his movies, because
what you want it to be. What else about this movie can we talk about? So I've been wanting to talk about this film for a while, because there's a scene when we first see Harrison Ford. And I'm pretty sure that the back of his head is not Harrison Ford. Now, if anyone is unaware, sometimes they will bring in a stand-in who will be for the overhead, one shot of the character who's talking to another character, because you film it in sections. So you do over the shoulder of Harrison Ford and you film Sylvester Stallone's section, and then you switch the camera around, all the lighting and everything, and then you do it the other way. Now, most actors of their salt will stay to give something for the other actor to act off on. Some actors, or maybe actors who are tired and aren't happy with the film work they're doing, might want to go back to their trailer and hang out. And so you get someone to do the back of their head. I actually did a film where the actor had to leave early to do publicity for something else he was doing. So he had to work. It wasn't like he was being a bad actor. And they brought in someone to just be the back of his head. So they saved all of the over the head shots for when he had to leave to go.
That's awesome. I feel bad for the actor that has to act off of a stand-in.
A stand-in, yeah. So I could be wrong. But if you notice the scene, his head never moves. It's like exactly straight. And I don't know if they did it for Sylvester Stallone either. But you're just looking at pictures of Antonio Banderas now.
I can't not. I opened it up.
He looks great in his outfit.
I was about to click on this because I wanted to see the names of everyone that was in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Name everyone who's in the movie. It's insane.
Yeah, because I was like,
this is only the third one, and it felt like it was not enough. Like, the people they're referencing who are no longer in it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's insane. Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Antonio Banderas, Jet Li, Wesley Snipes, Dolph Lundgren, Kelsey Grammer, Randy Couture, Terry Crews,
Kellen
Lutz, Ronda Rousey, Glenn Powell, Victor Ortiz, Jesus, Robert Davi, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's crazy. It's everyone I grew up with.
Yeah.
Except for Ronda Rousey and David Ortiz.
It's like the action version of Mother's Day.
Oh, God. That's a movie that I would just watch angry.
I've never seen it. I just thought it was a good joke. I could have said New Year's Eve. I could have said Valentine's Day.
Any girl movie. Yeah, fuck that.
No, but that became a thing where they would bring in all these actors and they would, you know, do one movie. I mean, I think it has to do a lot with, you know, money these days as well. You know, if we have more than one star in it, maybe everyone will come see it. And also the lack of roles for women. I've never seen these movies. I did once, though.
And that's why. No one did.
I did once see, in Times Square, the amazing, great, late Gary Marshall on a rig up in the air directing New Year's Eve.
That's awesome. My friend worked in the restaurant that they used, because they used the front of Ruby Foo's.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I figured they didn't film that much in New York.
They're closed now, though. So.
Yeah, it is gone.
Have you seen any of the bloopers for Harrison Ford's section from Spendable Story?
No, I missed. How did I miss that?
Because they are
please talk about
so
them. I'll put them in the show
funny.
Notes.
He goes in and he is, when he's talking to Sylvester Stallone in the car, he leans forward and the guy that they're, Mel Gibson's character is, what's his name? Stonebanks. And Harrison Ford leans forward and is like, so is this stone mill, stone wall, stone snow tall? And Harrison Ford's like, and I'm sorry, not Harrison Ford. Sylvester Stallone goes, Stonebanks? He goes, what? No, Stonebanks, who the hell is? I knew that in his very Harrison Ford way. And he's just like, and then Sylvester Stallone keeps kind of making fun of him. And Harrison Ford goes, I'm trying to work here. It cuts to him, like, Harrison Ford leaning back in the seat and, like, smiling and laughing. And I'm like, he must be a joy to work with on set. Just, like, because he's very good and takes himself very seriously. And it's just perfect. And then there's another one at the end, because it's bloopers for everyone. And no one is as good as Harrison Ford, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's Harrison Ford in the helicopter. And he's trying to yell down to the guys, but his voice won't go from this high-pitched sound. And he's like, bleh, bleh, trying to cough. And he's like, bleh, bleh, as he's trying to yell at everyone. It's so funny.
Oh, you have to send me the link.
I will.
The show notes. Oh, I've missed that. It's also hard when we have three movies to talk about. There's a lot.
Especially three movies you're not interested in.
Yes, no. And it's funny to me because watching these movies, particularly Expendables 3, was kind of like a hell for me. sorry. I now know what Rachel feels like for half of the films that she hates. I was like, oh, God, I'm Rachel this time. Nothing wrong with being Rachel. I just thought, oh, I hope I have something to add. Because she's really funny about it, and I just don't like it. I'm not being funny about this at all. But when I'm sad, I will watch the fight scene from Anchorman 2. So this is my heaven and my hell.
That's fun.
Yeah. I love that scene so much. I wish that... I wish I'd known that both versions were online. For some reason, I've only seen the unedited one once or twice. We just watched some of it. Both versions are hilarious.
Yeah.
It's so funny to me.
I can't even tell which one is the edited versus the unedited one.
I can't.
I've seen them, but I can't even remember what's different about them.
I can only imagine that the unedited version is the one that we just watched because Tina Fey says, cunt punters.
Cunt punters. I wouldn't mind being a cunt punter one day.
I also think that in the unedited version is when, which is one of my favorite parts, when Amy Poehler takes the crowbar and hits it up against the car. Like, I am ready for this.
Oh, you know the set person, the props person, the vehicle guy?
I was like,
please don't beat the cars.
Ms. Poehler, please don't do that.
We have to use that car again in the scene when we, you know, do a next take.
Yeah.
There's going to be a dent in it.
I also love when they got the shot on Tina Fey and she goes, I'm so horny right now. I love that. I love the Canadian news.
Oh my gosh, me too.
The Canadian news, the history news. For some reason I really love comedy, which is why I think I love the Anchorman series. When something is so crazy, that someone's like, well, that's not, that makes no sense. Does everyone see this? What is going on? Why is no one noticing there's a minotaur?
Yes. Or a werewolf.
Werewolf. Or actually, no, I think they're focusing on the minotaur, and he's like, the ghost of Stonewall Jackson, guys. Why are you not focusing on this? Just like when one of my favorite scenes in the first Anchorman is, you killed a man with a trident. That's not good. You gotta go away. You gotta get on a plane and leave. My favorite scene. Oh, I love it so much.
I haven't seen Anchorman in so long.
I haven't either. But that, I always repeat that a lot out of nowhere, particularly if someone's talking about Steve Carell. Even though Steve Carell really isn't part of it, but it's because it's based on his action.
Right.
He killed a man with a trident. I mean, in this one, he has a gun from the future.
Oh my gosh, I need to watch these movies again.
Oh, they're so good. So if anyone is unfamiliar with Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues, it is directed by Adam McKay, written by Will Ferrell and Adam McKay. And his character is Mac Tannen. He's another anchor character. And he's only really in two scenes in this film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Expendables, he's in, what, like three or four scenes?
Yeah.
He's the two car scenes.
Just enough to miss him. Helicopter.
Yeah. I do have to say, going back to Expendables, I did love when he's like, change of plans. And I'm like, oh, he's going to get on the car. And then when he comes, I'm on the subway watching it, and he comes out of the car in his flight outfit, and I started laughing.
I love this little flight outfit.
I mean, it's cliche moments, but that's the point. Like, I don't think they don't know they're not doing it.
Oh, yeah. He also, there was an interview with him for The Expendables 3 where he talks about how much he liked working with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
How much fun he had on set. Like, on set hanging out and on set playing around.
Well, it's funny. Will Ferrell, when he was promoting this, told a story on a talk show. Well,
this was Expendables, sorry.
I know I was skipping ahead.
Okay.
Sorry. It just reminded me of the story. That's what I meant. Sorry. He was on a chat show in the UK, and he said that he was, Phil Ferrell was so intimidated by Harrison Ford that he's pretty sure that he got invited out to dinner. And he went, oh no, I got plans or something. Like, and then he went, like, after the fact went, wait, did I just say no to dinner with Han Solo? What the hell? Like, he wanted to be cool or something. Like, he doesn't know why.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
And Harrison Ford heard the interview and was like, I didn't invite him out to dinner. I said I was going to get dinner.
Probably. I also enjoy sort of the fake. It looks like he's got fake hair, like some sort of toupee thing going
on. Oh, he has a little bit of fake hair there. Why would they even do that, though? Maybe it's just a weird cut.
Well, I think, they're trying to make it seem like he was this, you know, late 70s, early 80s anchor.
Yeah.
You know.
He has a lot of hair, though. They might have just combed it. Nah, there's probably something there.
No, I think it was supposed to make it look like it was fake hair, but it really wasn't. Because he's not gone bald.
No. He's got a beautiful head of hair.
Yeah, unlike Mel Gibson.
Oh, my God. Yes. He's got a lot of hair on his face now, though.
I used to really be into Mel Gibson, but I can't now because my joke is, it's not that I don't like Mel Gibson. It's that Mel Gibson doesn't like me.
Yeah. Anti-Semitic piece of shit.
Yeah. So making him the villain, because this is kind of like his comeback, right?
How can you hate Jewish people if you work in the film industry?
I don't know.
Tell me.
I don't know.
You're like, I literally don't know.
How can you not like people for something they were born with? But
oh, yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, that too. That just, you know, film industry aside.
I mean, you know, the Harrison Ford beaten Nazis. Now more relevant than ever.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I don't get it.
Hate is awful. It is, and there's a lot of energy behind that.
There really is.
That's exhausting to hate someone.
Let's not do it on this show because we don't have to talk about it. So, do you have anything else to say? Because I have some cool other stuff that I missed just because, you know, we came back so quickly and there was so much to talk about. Do you want to talk about some stuff that we missed?
Sure.
Okay. What we didn't get to talk about was the Jimmy Kimmel, I'm fucking Ben Affleck, and I'm fucking Matt Damon. And I'm fucking Ben Affleck was the reaction to Sarah Silverman's I'm fucking Matt Damon. And Harrison Ford appears in the music video.
He does.
He's in the, I as much as I love him in the car, kind of, you know, I don't see like winking or something,
uh-huh.
Like sort of this, you know, not a muscle shirt, but like a tank top in a car. Is in the We Are the World section, which I had noticed. He is just like going out on the mic and he's really getting into it.
He has fun.
He does. He gets the joke.
He is one of the best parts of it. You're right.
So that was 2009. And then I believe 2008 was I'm Fucking Matt Damon.
Yes.
So it was like right after each other. And then 2011, he actually did a Got Milk campaign.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's right. I forgot all about that.
So did I, apparently. And then we had been talking previously about...
I remember how good he looked, too.
He does look pretty good. He's got the t-shirt. I'm sure that was his, unless he made them buy it for him so he didn't have to go shopping. Which I wouldn't put it past him.
I love it.
Oh, speaking of, I actually really liked his hair in Ender's Game with like the buzz cut on the side and the higher at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that.
The military cut.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. So in the year 2000, speaking of, he turned down a lot of movies. So the last time we talked about films that he turned down was Traffic. But he also turned down Proof of Life, which went to Russell Crowe. The Perfect Storm, which went to George Clooney. And then The Patriot, which is a Mel Gibson movie, because he felt that it was too violent.
Oh.
Yeah. He turned down the Kurt Russell role in Vanilla Sky.
Thank God.
The Al Pacino role in Insomnia. This is all 2001-2002. Dragonfly, which is a Kevin Costner movie, with Jay Thomas.
Did I see that? I don't think I saw
it. I saw it because Jay Thomas was in it. And he actually was asked to be Kinsey in the Kinsey movie, which went to Liam Neeson.
Huh.
Yeah. Again, he said no to Syriana.
Okay, these are all good things.
But Syriana won George Clooney an Oscar.
I know. I don't think Harrison Ford would have done what George Clooney did.
I gotcha. History of Violence, Viggo Mortensen. I would not see him in that.
Mm-mm.
Now, this is a movie that I absolutely love called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Val Kilmer.
I didn't see it, but I know of it.
Yeah. It's a great movie. I feel like a lot of people don't know it. And then the Nicolas Cage role in World Trade Center.
I think these are all solid choices. Not because they wouldn't have done a great job, but because he wouldn't have done as good of a job as the other people.
Yeah.
These other actors gave such a specific thing. And I'm talking like Syriana right now. And even The Patriot. Mel Gibson did pretty good in that because he's good at that weird historical
BS. I used to love the man. Funny, cute. Totally my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't look at him anymore. It was very hard watching this film.
Yeah.
You know.
He's so pompous looking now, too. Like, he doesn't... All I see is arrogance when I see his face.
And yeah, right?
He plays a good bad guy because I'm like, you're right, I hate you.
And in a way, I think it was sort of smart to make him the bad guy. Again, I'm not really sure. I think this is around the time we started doing films again. Because people didn't like him. And so you can then sort of take on that persona. So for him to come back as a villain was smart.
Yeah. Oof. Silly man.
But yeah, he doesn't like me very much.
Yeah. But the Harrison Ford's turned down some of those. It was a very good career move.
Yeah, he doesn't have Pat McQueenie anymore
mm-hmm.
to help him make those decisions. And I sort of feel like he's kind of been aloof since she passed.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a combination of that and signing with the big agency, which doesn't probably see him the way that she did.
Right.
And they're more concerned about money. And
Harrison Ford is a label instead of
exactly,
an actor.
As a person. Yeah. And, you know, we haven't had a chance to talk about Pat. I keep wanting to have time to talk about her because she was so influential in his life. And there just didn't seem to be a place to give her the importance that she had in his life. So maybe we'll just save her for the end.
Yeah. Give her own little episode hurrah.
Yeah, exactly. So this is your hurrah.
Yeah.
With us. I know we've only really been doing this for probably only like 20 minutes. What else can we talk about in this film? Let's see. What else do I got here? So Harrison Ford felt the film is really Ender's Game is about drone warfare.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, that's stupid.
Because in Ender's Game, you're following, he doesn't realize he's doing it, but he's piloting what he thinks are drones that are actually filled with people.
Okay, now I know why I wanted to talk about this. So this film and talking with Harrison about the fact that it's about drone warfare inspired the film Eye in the Sky, which Gavin Hood ended up doing.
Oh, so just his thought process of this made a movie come out of it?
Just talking to...
Jeez.
Just based on his conversations. That was one of the things that Hood really talked about, was that he really just enjoyed the outside conversations that he had with Harrison. That was why I felt like they probably had sort of, you know, gotten along really well.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a fun fact.
Yeah. Gavin Hood also is the voice of the giant in the movie.
That's a good voice.
I don't remember it.
It's growly and low, and I'm a giant. Sounds like a giant.
Great. I wish that your last
show. And the motion pick. Oh, mocap for it, too. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
When you dress something, you can, you know, put yourself in it. You think there'll be an Anchorman 3?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I have to say, I am getting a little sick of movies where it's just actors having a good time with each other.
Oh, how horrible.
Because I'm getting jealous. I get mad about it, because I'm like, you just, like, can you stop doing stuff for yourselves and do stuff for me? Because I don't want you guys to have this much fun. You're depressing me.
Here's who in other than, you know, Harrison Ford turning into a werewolf. We have Dylan Baker, who has previously been in a Harrison Ford film. I've talked about him before. I've also met him. He and his wife bought me and my friends drinks on election day. So sweet.
Damn.
Love them. We chatted with them. I sent him, through him to them, a thank you note. He thanked me back. Love Dylan Baker. Also a super talented actor. A lot of people probably know him because The Good Wife, he played the rich guy who kept killing people. Megan Good, James Marsden, Fred Willard, Kristen Wiig. Oh God, Kristen Wiig is so good in this movie. Chris Parnell, Greg Kinnear, Judy Nelson, Drake, Steve Carell, Paul Rudd, David Koechner. Who else we got here? Paula Pell. I love Paula Pell. Paula Pell just randomly shows up in things that these guys do.
Yeah.
She's really just a writer, and she'll just be like crowd member at the ice rink. And I'm like, Paula Pell! I get so excited. Sacha Baron Cohen is the BBC news anchor.
Of course. He's so good.
Entertainment news is abomination. Marion, I can never say her name correctly.
Coutier.
Thank you. Who's an amazing actress and is damn funny. At her and Jim Carrey as the French Canadian news.
Mm-hmm.
So freaking funny.
She's one of my favorite actresses. I love her so much.
She's beautiful.
I want to look like
her. Also, Will Smith.
Yeah.
Is the ESPN's. Is the accent that he's doing is so particularly like of that time period and sports and the hair and the little like nod of his head.
We get to watch it again at the end.
Oh, we gotta watch it again. You guys gotta watch it again. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, which you've talked about, just absolutely love them as the entertainment reporters. Mm-hmm. Liam Neeson, History Network. This is a guy who's such a great dramatic actress. Oh my God, I'm so tired. This guy is such a great dramatic actor. And then he does these crazy, funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing on, I think it's Life is Short, that Ricky Gervais did. And it's really not about him. It's actually about
Warwick Davis.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Except that the way Warwick Davis talks, it's such Ricky's speech pattern.
Uh-huh.
It's distracting. I'm like, yeah, Ricky, so wrote this. But so he comes to his office to pitch an idea. And he's like, I want to do comedy. I want to do improv. But every improv they try to do, he says something like, well, I have AIDS.
It's the best.
It's so good. They're like,
he knows who he is.
That might not be a good idea. You know, maybe we want to be a little light and fun. Oh, it's so
good. I could be light and fun. No, definitely.
No, I think so. John C. Reilly as the ghost of Stonewall Jackson. Apparently he's uncredited. Actually, I think most of the people in this scene,
they don't need credit.
I love when you can be uncredited, because then it's a surprise.
It's also, I don't think you have to pay them as much.
Oh, really?
So I think it's also a money thing.
Maybe.
Because a lot of people have contracts where you have to spend a certain amount of money.
Oh, sure, it's their get, yeah.
Right.
Okay,
so, and if they just want to do something for fun, if they get uncredited, then they don't have to, they don't have to pay.
The scene, though, is obviously not New York City. That part is not New York.
No.
I always want to see, like, okay, so when did all the stands-ins just come in? So they all could just go home. Because it's a lot of people on one set.
Yeah, although maybe they all were just there because then they went out and had drinks after. Could you imagine that group walking into a bar?
Amazing.
I would shit my pants.
I
wouldn't know what to do. I would just stare at them.
I saw Amy Poehler when Upright Citizens Brigade was above like some place of business. And it was a teeny tiny hole in the wall. And I went to school with people who knew more about improv than I did at the time. And we were in the city to see something else. And they're like, do you guys mind? Instead of taking the van back, we stay and we go see this thing called Upright Citizens Brigade. And I was like, okay, sure. Like, I mean, before the TV show, we had no idea who they were. And Amy Poehler was so amazing. She was so good for the first few years of SNL. I was disappointed in her. Because wow. I kept... And I shouldn't say her because it was probably disappointed in the writing. I know she was part of the writing, but I felt like they weren't giving her the chance, which is no one's fault, really. You know, you're writing very quickly. It's a very fast-paced show. You're up all night. Sometimes you don't get so great. But I felt like she wasn't living up to her full potential in the work that she was being given at the beginning because I had seen her be so amazing. Cause she's so small and all of these guys were so tall and bigger than her. And she just like was a spitfire on the stage. And I was like, who is this person? I love her. And it's Amy Poehler.
Yeah. She's amazing. I've seen her do improv a couple times through UCB.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She's great. She's just cute as hell.
Yeah. And I just also just adore Tina Fey. I love all these guys. And Adam was actually one of the founding members of Uprights.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So here's the thing that people say, right? Oh, the business is all about who you know. No, it's about who you know, who you meet along the way in your career.
Right.
That's the thing is people take that line. They go, well, I can't do this because I don't know anyone. And all I have to do is focusing on knowing people. No, you do the work.
You find talented people and you make stuff with them.
Yeah. And then... they want to work with you more because they know you. So it is about who you know because it's about who you've met along the way in your career.
Relationships you've developed. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing also about people who act horrible. And then I try to list all of these actors and they go, who are they? And I go, exactly. So yeah, maybe they had a couple of really big films, but where are they now?
Right. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. Although there are people who are dicks who still work. So you know what? You never know. Yeah. But most of them don't work anymore.
Nope.
Unlike you, Crystal Beth, because you're lovely.
And I'm not working either, though. So I don't know what's going on.
Maybe you're too nice.
I know.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we got through everything.
Yeah, we really got through it, didn't we?
Yeah. My whole thing was the outtakes from Expendables 3.
Yeah, I can't believe I missed that.
Give him a hug. But you can follow me on social media at TheCrystalBeth, and that's Twitter and Instagram. And you can listen to this podcast on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe because it does amazing things. Or you can listen to Unlimited Lives Radio or The Fifth Element on iTunes.
You can find me at Lauren Milberger on the Instagram and the Twitter. You can find the podcast at The Fordcast PC on Twitter and The Fordcast Podcast on Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also enter our contest by putting in the number 12.
Good number.
Thank you. Thought of it just now.
Yeah, I like it.
We have the rest of our amazing prizes from the people who donated, and I put them in prize packs. They're very lightweight, so even though you are paying for shipping, it is very light. And we will pick people who are listening and just no trivia question. Just give the number. And then you could be in the running at the end of the podcast to win one of these amazing. We have Star Wars packs. We have a Carrie Fisher pack. We have Indiana Jones. We have a random one of just Harrison Ford stuff.
Oh, my God.
They're all really awesome. Some people will also get free lip glide or perhaps some scrub of some kind from Haas Urban, our sponsor, HaasUrban.com. Put in the code word Ford. I know it's hard, guys. And you can get a discount off your first order. We love their products.
I love mine.
I'm wearing it right now. Sangria. It's my absolute favorite lip glide. And check us out in show notes where you can see a clip of the outtakes from Expendables 3 at theforecastpodcast.com.
I love it. Great. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Yeah, guest thank you host. For doing this. You can find more info on Crystal Beth also on our website. And perhaps you can call in sometime in the future.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, as long as Harrison Ford keeps making movies.
He's never going to die. So,
well, no.
Ever.
Never, no.